Welcome back to the Just Because podcast, a podcast about all things cosplay and life. And yes, it's your boy Jeremy. I'm back again with another really good interview here again. So, as you've realised in the last few weeks, it's just been me. I hope you're not getting sick of this too quickly, because we're going to have a lot of me coming through. But we've also got another wonderful person. Now, this is going to be our first guest from overseas, an international superstar, who I actually met in WCS in Japan. So, obviously, myself and Maya, we were representing Australia. And one of the first teams that we actually met straight off the plane was Team Bulgaria. Now, Bulgaria's got a bit of a interesting kind of story and time in WCS, but that's a whole story for themselves. But this is one half of Team Bulgaria. You may have seen him, you may have not. He's handsome, he's got a wonderful-looking kind of John Wick kind of look to him. He's got a smooth voice, which is going to lull you just into a sincere sense of false security and make you give him all your money, because it's that nice to listen to. But everyone, please welcome Stoyan from Bulgaria. Say hello.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for that kind and warm introduction. It really makes me feel good.
Good, I'm glad. Now, again, I wanted to have a chat and reach out to you because, like I said, you're one of the first teams that we kind of got in touch with, and you know, we got on really well. Just you guys, unfortunately, due to circumstances, had to miss out on a lot of social things because of stuff happening, and you had to kind of work on your costumes most of the time we were there. So as much as we would have liked to hang out more with you, it didn't apparate in that way. But Zoran, for anyone who doesn't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in cosplay, especially in Bulgaria.
So I'm known as Stoyan Reeves, formerly known as two other names, and I don't even know why they keep putting my formerly known on the badges, but it's kind of like a running joke now, so I try to change my name as much as possible so I can get the biggest badge possible as well. But I've been cosplaying alongside and also because of my partner for the past 2.5 years. She is our most professional, if that is a thing, cosplayer, probably one of our oldest as well here in Bulgaria. So she's always trying to teach me the ropes, always showing me how things go. And I'm a pretty business-oriented guy, and I have a severe ADHD, and for my whole life I've just been dabbling in new things, dancing, choreography, voice acting, and now we're here cosplaying, owning a cosplay shop, and working on a casino in the same time.
That was one of the most interesting things I found about you when we met. It's like, oh, what do you do? It's like, oh, I kind of run this and develop this online casino in the metaverse kind of thing. I'm like, what the hell? That's a thing. And he pulls out his phone and he just kind of shows me. He's like, yeah, look, this is who you can be. This is the table if you want to go play some blackjack or something. You want to roulette. Like, there it is. I'm like, oh my God, this looks better than a real casino. But yeah, you mentioned, so you've only actually been doing cosplay for just two or three years by this point, but you managed to represent Bulgaria in WCS. That's kind of insane. So what kind of led you to want to go to do WCS, I suppose, in the first place?
I think it was like being inspired, but also kind of being like showing commitment to my partner, because she had unfortunately a bad run before that, and her partner wasn't supportive, like her former partner, like in life as well, just wasn't supporting her. And I really wanted to show her that I care about her hobby. I think her hobby is like really good. I think it's like something that is a serious job. I've never thought as cosplay is just, oh, dressing up and, going to conventions. Far from that, actually. And, for me, that was kind of like my way to express that I'm in it for the whole ride. I'm in it for you, for the whole package, cosplay as well. And yeah, we just decided, oh, Elden Ring, we both love Elden Ring. She loves Melania. I love Radahn. Let's do it.
Oh, I honestly, because I saw the pictures, and the second I saw them on the website, I'm like, oh, fuck, that's Bulgaria. Jesus Christ. So we're going to have a bit of trouble against these guys. But obviously, just through a whole turn of events of what happened, you guys actually didn't end up getting to do Elden Ring in Japan, which is such a shame. So, look, we can get into that whole story later if you want to, but long story short, for Bulgaria, unfortunately, they couldn't bring the costumes that they wanted to bring to Japan, so they unfortunately had to make a whole new set of costumes within, what was it, like a month or something?
I think it was like
a week and a half to prepare a whole new costume to perform on the international stage in Japan. There's obviously a whole bunch of stuff that led up to that, but because of that, they were quite literally in their hotel room in between every event we did, just trying to get these costumes finished because they had no time to prepare. So, but they, like I said, on the trip, they were honestly one of, if not the most wonderful people I met. Just, you know, despite all that, it was just like, fuck it, we're just going to do our best, we're going to have fun, we're going to just, you know, make the most of it, so... and that's kind of the attitude I kind of really drawn to. It's like, wow, you guys went through all that crap and you're still like smiling through this with bags under your eyes and stuff. It's like, wow, that's amazing. So your partner as well, you met them. And do you think that's the reason you started cosplay in the first place more than anything else? Or were you kind of cosplaying before you met them?
I only had dabbled in the community a little bit. I was also like dancing, like K-pop dancing. So usually in our cons, they're not separate. They're just like, over the weekend, one weekend, like the first weekend days for cosplay, second weekend days for K-pop. So usually it was in the whole ecosystem together. And the way we met is actually really funny because, I was with my dad. And,
oh, wow.
They had invited us to one of the events who actually sends the WCS representatives, and they called us over the phone. They said, oh, we have this Italian cosplayer coming in. He's actually, he has a book, and because we're in the book publishing business, they asked us, can you print the book? And we were like, sure, it's really short notice, like 2 weeks, but we can make it happen. Mm-hmm. So we got there, we published the cosplayer's book. I'm not sure they changed their name and gender, so I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, no, of course.
That's why I don't want to mention.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were like right next to the stage, and the second day or the first day, I'm slipping away from me, but I see my partner Vanya walking towards the back of the stage with her Ari costume. She was doing Spirit Blossom Ari. She had like 9 like huge tails, and she looked like really miserable, and I just saw her going back to the stage where they were doing photo shoots of everyone,
yeah,
behind the backdrop even, and that was her changing room. So I was like, what the fuck? And I asked her, hey, because I saw her like lifting the tails, which are like bigger than she is, and her like super heavy suitcase. I was like, hey, do you need like assistance? Like, if you want, like, I can like drive you your things back to where you live, because I don't know how you're going to manage with this. So she was like, she agreed. I was super surprised and shocked.
Yeah.
One thing led to another. We went out a couple of times, talked, and yeah, it kind of became this thing.
Yeah, right. And so you mentioned to me before, you run like the cosplay business in Bulgaria. Was that something that was already in operation, or is that something that both of you kind of put your heads together and said, hey, look, we're, you know, WCS Bulgaria, let's set up a cosplay shop? Like, how did that cosplay thing actually come to fruition?
Yeah, well, that's how our story continued as well, funny enough. But she has been cosplaying for 14 to 15 years now. And she decided that she wants to do something for the community, because we have a severe lack of materials here. You basically can't even find EVA, well, not anymore, but I couldn't even find products to use on EVA foam. And she decided, no, I'm going to do this for the community. I want the future cosplayers to have a place where they can come, shop, and also make my passion into a business. So I kind of came into it like in early days where she was trying to get everything up.
Yeah.
Because she's always such entrepreneurially set,
yep.
But she doesn't necessarily have all the missing pieces, which I believe I was when I came, like all these business like pieces. So it kind of like 3 years ago, we were selling like 10 wigs a month, and here we are now selling like 100 times that, and EVA foam every other month.
Holy crap, that's awesome. So that's really cool. So what is, honestly, because I've only ever done conventions in Australia, you know, plus, you know, went to WCS for Japan. That wasn't really a convention. And I've been to Singapore once, like, you know, 10, 12 years ago. So I've only really dipped my toes in the water for what conventions are like in other countries. But what are they like in Bulgaria for the most part? Like, are there lots of conventions? Is it a place which is like, you know, parties all weekend? Or is it just, you know, rock up, do your costume thing, you know, go shopping? Like, what are conventions like in Bulgaria?
For sure, they're, I think, on the more scarcer part rather than, the, you know, in the other parts of the world. But for the last 3 or 4 years, I would say that conventions have really kicked it up a notch, because we've had many new up-and-coming, like, bigger conventions.
Mm.
Obviously, we also have Comic-Con now.
Oh, wow.
Which has helped tremendously grow the community just because of the name. We have so many people visiting from other countries such as Romania, Serbia, even Italy.
Yeah, wow.
So the conventions, I'd say they're pretty standard. We have a very interesting community when it comes to the people who attend it. We have so many people who just want to show up and, you know, show their costume.
Yeah, yeah.
Feel their best, kind of, for an escape for like two days. So I'd say it's growing rapidly, and in the future we probably need like a few new conventions, like bigger ones, to facilitate all this like hype behind both K-pop and cosplay as well.
So K-pop, by the sounds of it, is a really big thing in Bulgaria as well, is it?
Yeah, I'd say they leveled together like on the same level.
Yeah,
now.
Wow.
If you asked me like 2 years ago, K-pop was just like blowing it out of the water.
Yeah, right. That's really interesting. I actually want to get it, because you said you did K-pop dancing as well. Do you still do it?
No, unfortunately, I don't.
Just one of those things you stop. That's fine. So just as a, on, in terms of scale, you know, for example, one of the regular conventions we have here is Supernova. That pulls a crowd of, over the weekend, maybe 20,000 people, 25. One of the biggest, you know, gaming cosplay things that we have is probably a convention called PAX, like Penny Arcade Expo, again, from America as well. We've also...
PAX Prime?
Not Prime, just PAX Australia, right? We also have Oz Comic Con, like Australian Comic Con. It's still reasonably big, but PAX, to my understanding, is enormous. Like, it's really big. So I'll Google that really quickly in just terms of attendance. But what would be like the biggest convention in Bulgaria, and what's the attendance numbers like? Like, what, how big are we talking? Is the Bulgarian scene?
So Comic-Con, for sure, for the, like, since it started, that was the biggest one. Mm. And it was actually a outside guy who came in. He is very known here in Bulgaria as a businessman. He worked with Coca-Cola. He worked for like the biggest events in that are hosted here in the Balkans.
Mm.
So he reached out to what was then and is still like the main people within the community. They're called Nakama.
Okay.
And they joined forces to make this Anniventure Comic-Con thing. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw the numbers of attendance for last year. I think over the weekend, both days, it was around 60,000.
Wow. Okay. So there is a solid demand for you know, conventions and stuff like that. So, but just that being said, I'm kind of surprised that, you know, before you guys came along, there wasn't really any, you know, cosplay materials or anything like that. So what's Vanya been doing? What have you been doing for the last few years in terms of getting your hands on materials and wigs and stuff?
Well, we've been fortunate enough to be older and have, you know, stable jobs and credit cards, so we can afford
to import it from overseas.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we've been, like, fortunate to be able to import stuff, but Bulgaria is a pretty poor country, and, like, most of the people in the community are not that well off. We have so many younger cosplayers who are saving up, like, for the whole year just to buy, like, their two costumes,
which are
going to be for the biggest event, and they recycle them into different things. But I remember Vanya telling me the stories of cosplaying, like, maybe 5 to 6 years ago. It was just, like, going to the dumpsters trying to get the nice carton boxes so she can make the weapon out of carton.
Wow, that's crazy, dude.
So it was dumpster diving cosplay.
No, that's honestly so interesting, because for us, you know, we've got a big hardware store here called Bunnings, and it's like, oh, did you want cardboard? We've got, you know how they, I don't know, you've got like a box full of screwdrivers or something, so they'll put the screwdrivers on the shelf and they'll put any boxes at the front of the store for customers to use instead of using like plastic bags to, you know, carry stuff. So we've got boxes just readily available, but it's like, no, I have to go to the dump to just get cardboard so I can make stuff. Like, that's crazy. It's just kind of a real interesting, you know, difference in just the culture that you have to go through just to make costumes, I suppose. But for yourself, has cosplay been something that you've kind of always eyed off as a kid, or anime something you've always like been really into, and it just so happens, wow, I just happen to be at a convention where I meet someone who's really into it and I get into it, but you've never kind of done cosplay yourself before then. So what, for yourself personally, what have your interests been growing up from, you know, when you were a kid up to where you are now? How did that kind of tie into it all?
Well, my biggest influence growing up, because being in the book publishing business, my like biggest passion when I was young, still, were actually books and comic books.
Okay.
And my dad grew me up, like, the first anime I watched ever was Cowboy Bebop.
Yep.
So I even have a tattoo on my back, which I can show later.
Oh, you never got your shirt off in Japan, but we'll change that.
I also watched Dragon Ball Z later, and I think at one, like, beautiful moment, like, we had Disney in Bulgaria. Oh, no, sorry, before Disney, it was a program called Jetix, which was a Hungarian program, I think.
Okay.
And they had Naruto and Shaman King. It was, like, the last two shows, because at 10 o'clock, it would become another channel, like, an adult channel.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But prior to that, the last two shows that we could watch were, like, Naruto and Shaman King. So, growing up, I was so in love with, like, anime and manga. But I didn't even know that cosplay existed back then. It was not until my dad got the rights to publish One Piece, Death Note, and Naruto.
Oh, wow.
In Bulgarian here. And that was the time where I found out what cosplay was, because we went to the first convention. So I was like, whoa, these guys are, like, dressing up, like, as the characters. I was like, fuck, I just saw these big costumes, and people were, like, really bold back in the day. I, like, seeing the cosplay pictures from 10 years ago, people were, like, willing to experiment so much more with, like, crazy big things, like General Grievous and, like, all these big Gundam costumes.
Yeah.
And now it's, like, more scaled down to, like, prettier things in Genshin.
Yeah, Genshin, of course. That's like the new Naruto at this point, let's be real. So did when you saw the costumes, is that something you're like, oh fuck, I really want to try that or get into it? Or you kind of said, yeah, that looks cool, but not for me? Or how did you kind of fall into it, if that's the case? I know you kind of met Vanya, but did anything before that say, like, no, I want to do it, but you kind of never really got that instinct?
Yeah, I always wanted to do it. I had, like, two occasions where I had two roles as cosplay. So I did Boudoir Luffy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, scene with Ivankov. It wasn't a big thing, but I had the costume.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I bought the costume to make it. It was really funny. And then the first costume I made, it was like the most basic thing ever. I did Hades from Hercules.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Movie.
We had a whole scene, and we ended up winning, like, best scene for it. And that was like, hey, cosplay is really fun. I really vibe with the character. And I think it all unleashed when I got together with her. I was like, yeah, I want to do it. I want to do it. And now it's like, oh, so when are you doing the next thing?
Is it so, obviously, when you met Vanya, you did competitive things together. Was WCS the preliminaries for Bulgaria? Was that like your first big competition in that regard?
Yeah, for me it was. For her, she had done quite a lot of things before that. She did Cosplay World Masters, WCS another time, and I think there was a couple of other conventions that she did competitively, so she was way more trained.
Yeah, right.
The art.
So by the sounds of it, she's, you know, still really going hard with it. Yourself as well, is it just like, yeah, I can't wait for my next costume, or is it just like, oh, whatever comes up, I'll do it kind of thing? Or you've kind of got your plans for the year all set out?
We actually sat down in the start of the year and we planned everything, because this year we're going extra hard, and we're going to visit a bunch of like conventions, such as like Gamescom. We're doing DreamHack. We're doing, hopefully we can do BlizzCon. It's not confirmed yet, but if we can do BlizzCon, that'd be great. And we are actually traveling now. In the end of the month, we're traveling to Polymanga. She's competing there.
Are these all these conventions, are they all kind of all around, like, outside of Bulgaria, or are they kind of still within the country?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's Germany, Sweden, Switzerland, Atlanta, USA.
Yeah.
And where was the last one? And so two in Germany, one in Sweden, one in Switzerland, one in the USA. Oh, and we're going to attend the Dota 2 International in Copenhagen.
Oh, damn, that's awesome. Is that just for the fun of it, or are they all kind of like, I'm entering a competition, or are they like business trips? What's kind of the scope of traveling there?
All together mixed in one, actually, because for one side, I've been like dogging her up to compete a lot, because conventions here are like nice, but at this point, the level of the conventions here is, for us, not something that fulfills us. We want this like international recognition. Well, I want this for her because she is like amazing in what she does, and I want her to experience all these different cultures of events as well.
Yeah, of course.
So some of the events we're just going for like pure excitement of like competing with other people, and then Gamescom we're kind of trying to tie in it with the business.
Okay.
Because we kind of want to start doing like cosplay for like big studios as well.
Wow. Okay.
As we build like quite the hub here, and we have a lot of opportunity to make really good high quality things. And then some are for us like enjoyment, you know?
Okay. No, that's good. So it's not all just like, no, we're going to compete. That's the only reason we're going for these things.
Yeah. Most of them are like trying to do business with like the companies, and also trying to enjoy everything and kind of meet people in the world. Because the most important thing for me, which I've learned in my life, is like connections is the strongest thing you can build in your life. Like having connections in the whole world is invaluable.
So what's kind of some connections that you feel like you've built that made you realize that, you know, as you kind of go about your travels? It's obviously something that, as I get older, it's kind of similar with what I'm doing now. It's less about, oh, I just want to make costumes to look good, or to impress people, or to feel good about myself, or to meet pretty girls, or whatever it is, right? And now it's more just, you know, I go to cons in a costume, out of a costume, it doesn't matter, but I'm just there to kind of meet people, make connections, see who I vibe with, You know, if we become good mates, awesome. If business comes of it, awesome. I'm not, you know, personally going, oh, I need to go there and, you know, close this deal with one of the guys at the convention. Like, I'm not out just like, oh, I'm only meeting this guy because he'll give me something. But was there like a particular connection in your life, or was there a particular time in which, you know, you did meet someone and think to yourself, yeah, that's really important. I've just kind of realized how important and how fun that is to kind of make connections with people around the world. Was there any particular time that made you realize that?
Yeah, I've had a couple of people whom I've met over my current job, which are like people who are well off and have done so many things in terms of their business and just the sheer scale of what they're doing. And to be able to have a connection and to ask them like stuff that helps me grow as a professional, but also helps my business, has probably been some of like my most valuable connections, because these are like people whom daily I'd go to and I ask, okay, I'm running into this problem. Well, how can I figure this out? How can I scale? How can I go to the next level? And like, these people are just open to give me this information because of our relationship, because we work together and we built up this nice connection leading to, I can comfortably come to you and ask you, okay, especially one of my bosses,
yeah,
who has such a portfolio. He's like been the general manager of like some of the biggest companies in the world, such as Mars, like the third biggest chocolate maker in the world.
Oh shit, Mars. Right, I was thinking, what's Mars? It's like, oh wait, Mars, yeah. Bars, I get you, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he has always like supported me in terms of knowledge, because he's been like in the business for billions, and now I just go up to him and I tell him, hey, so what could the strategy look like for us? What would the next steps be? We had this plan. Do you think it's like feasible? And he's always willing to sit down with me and look like through the stuff I'm showing him, and also showing support and full interest in,
yeah,
what we're doing here as well.
No, that's really good. It's so funny kind of just hearing about stuff like that within the business world from different industries. Because as you've probably known, or maybe you don't know because you guys are like the top of the chain in Bulgaria, but with you know, in the cosplay community specifically, you're going to find people who are, oh, how do I do this? And some people will be like, just do it like this, dude, A, B, C, you need some more advice, just come to me, I'll show you. But there's also the people who you kind of want to gatekeep those techniques for some weird reason. And they say, it's like, oh, how do I do this? It's like, oh, you know, it's a kind of a trade secret. Don't really want to pass it on to the competition. You're like, what's going on? But it's kind of really nice that you've, you know, met those people and you're kind of developing those connections, because, you know, as you've probably figured out firsthand, it's so, you know, nice being surrounded by people who encourage you and they push you forward and they want to support you in that same way. Because you also mentioned as well, because I think a lot of people who are, especially as the world's getting more involved with, you know, pop culture and, you know, cosplay and stuff like that. I only figured this out when I went to Japan for WCS, that a lot of competitions and travel and just the industry itself is quite a viable thing for like a career of some kind, whether it be you know, competing in cosplay all the time, or just traveling all the time, or, you know, making a cosplay shop, or just competing. But I only realized that because in Australia, we're so far removed from a lot of the, yeah, rest of the world, just location-wise. So that honestly didn't even pop up as a possibility, because we don't have access to a lot of what's in Europe or America. But as someone who kind of lives in that location of, you know, I could book a flight to Italy and be there tomorrow quite easily, or, you know, pop over to Germany for a convention, or in this case, you go to America as well. Kind of just being around that with Vanya, what do you think, how kind of viable is it to, you know, be a cosplayer with either within Europe or within America, from your experience, in terms of making it an ongoing, either a business thing, a career thing, or just something that, you know, not just community-wise, but also like as a business or monetary-wise, is how viable is it on that side of the world?
So first off, for for Bulgaria, strictly speaking here, it's absolutely not viable. So it's like 0 out of 10.
Right.
for a career path. I'd say for the rest of the world, I think there's some hubs around Europe that are like very, very cosplay like driven, and you can make quite a career there, especially like partnering up with like big companies who operate here, such as like Polyprops, Cosplay Shopee. Like they always try to collaborate with other cosplayers. And I'd say for Europe as a whole, from traveling all around and seeing like different conventions, I'd say it's a, if I'd have to rate it, it's probably a 5 out of 10 here in Europe.
Okay.
You can make it. It just really depends on your content. It actually circles back to what you're saying about gatekeeping, because we always talk about how gatekeeping is like the last thing we will do. We're an open book, and we believe that the more we give to the audience, the more we get back. And how it works is like full circle with us. Like we buy a course, like a very expensive course, let's say. We learn a bunch of stuff from this course, and then we get this information for our heads, like test it out for ourselves, give this back to the community in a way, not like plagiarizing what we saw in the course, but from our own like cosplay perspective, give it back to our community. Mm. And then the community gives back to us. We invest. So it's like full circle. And yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So I know you mentioned as well that, you know, Bulgaria itself is 0 out of 10 feasibility for turning it into something. But that's obviously the goal for yourself, and especially for Vanya. So what's the kind of, I guess, for this year particularly, so you're going quite hard with going traveling and stuff, what's kind of the goal or the strategy at the moment for the both of you in that respect, if that's the case?
So it's actually a very, very fresh thing that we're working on with two of our close friends. And our strategy right now and our goal for them as cosplayers, and personally for me from the business side, is we want to start working with studios from this year. We've already established a good connection moving forward with Riot Games
right.
over at League of Legends.
Hell yeah.
So we are in talks of doing some content for them, because we have a really talented boy on our like close list who is making music, and he is super into making a music video like the Riot ones for League of Legends, and we want to recreate this with like original music, original costumes.
Yeah.
And Riot are actually really you know, really interested in this, and we're working towards making this happen. And then of course, what I told you, we want to work with other companies.
Yeah,
of course. Show them the Bulgarian talent is very much, you know, here present. We have the necessary materials, we have the drive. So we kind of want to make it this year into like the strategy of expanding not only the shop itself, because we've reached a really like happy place with the shop where we have wigs, we have costumes, we have materials, tools, everything. So from here on now, it's only like sweet things that we can add, but the bare basics, the bare minimums, we got them down. So
yeah,
we want to scale on custom orders and custom the stuff that we can create.
Yeah, wow. I think that's a really kind of good way forwards. Because you mentioned as well too, in a couple of different things. Just firstly, is that with Riot Games in Bulgaria specifically, or with the headquarters over in America, or?
No, just international.
International, cool. I think that's a really cool kind of way forward and kind of strategy, showing, hey, look, we're doing this by ourselves, for ourselves. It's kind of involved with, you know, your characters or, you know, your themes or whatever. And it's obviously gotten some interest from Riot in itself. And, you know, you're kind of showcasing, you know, this is what we love doing, this is what we can do. You know, let's collab sometime kind of thing. But from that experience, it kind of shows like, hey, look, we're showing off what we can do. And obviously you said when you go off over to Germany or over to over to America, wherever else you're going, the option there is to meet people, to network, see who else is involved in the industry, and, you know, see what talks you can have. Do you have mutual interests? Are there's like a mutual kind of thing here, which, oh, you want this, we can provide this. And that's where all the networking obviously comes in. But that, obviously, that sounds like a really sound strategy. I wish you both the best. I wish you all the best, because that sounds amazing. But because from what I see for a lot of cosplayers, especially young ones, the goal, a lot, I think a lot of people is, you know, make a pretty costume or buy a pretty costume, get some cool photos, get those likes up, get those followers up. And they're like, oh, do I make money now? How do I make money? And it's obviously the biggest question that I think a lot of people ask, because they want to turn their passion of a hobby or their creative pursuit into a career. But that next step is obviously still, you know, how do I do that? And, yeah, you know, a lot of people...
How do I approach that?
And, you know, I've heard some things like, oh, maybe I'll go on YouTube, go on TikTok and do some TikTok dances and, you know, do those kinds of things. But there's no kind of really solid, you know, just like, you know, career path in that way for a lot of people. So, like I said, obviously in Australia, you know, we don't even have, you know, TikTok monetization or stuff like that. So there's a few things that's not available to us. But I really like what you said about, you know, networking, collaborating, reaching out to people. What would be your best advice from your experience in terms of, for someone who is, you know, in somewhere in the world, maybe they're in Bulgaria, maybe they're somewhere, you know, far away in Australia somewhere, who's like, oh, I kind of want to do this or start making money or, you know, get into the industry. What would kind of be your, you know, advice to someone like that of how to get that ball rolling if you were genuinely interested?
So I think something that is given as an advice, at least for myself over the years, is be committed to what you're doing. If your passion is real, it will show, because it will stay. I've personally had a lot of times in my life where I thought I was passionate about something, and then just with the time, it fell off. So it turns out I wasn't really that passionate.
Yeah, right.
But stay committed and invest in yourself. The more you invest in yourself, the clearer the path becomes, because with investment in your knowledge, you open your eyes to the possibilities. You learn where the things, like the forbidden fruit, is for you.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, just analyze your community. Just take a step back and look at the broad picture and just ask yourself, okay, from my side, what am I missing? So what is the thing that is not yet here, and how can I help the community? Because like I said, it's a full circle.
Yeah.
If you look at the broad picture and you think, not how I can make money, but how can this community enable me to make money? So think of it that way. The more you help the community, the more you help yourself. Bigger community, bigger market, right?
Right. That's actually a really good point. It's not... Because that's an excellent point. Because I think a lot of you know, the thoughts of people who are cosplaying, it's, I'm going to make this costume, put out some pictures, and it's like, notice me. Please notice me. Give me those likes. Give me that attention, right? That clout. But it's less about that and more about, okay, what can I give to people? What can I give to the community? How is my content, or how is my, you know, whatever I'm putting out there, helpful to the people around me? Because it's, you know, the more you give to people, it's in the same way, you know, if say you want to work with Riot Games or something, say you want to work with Blizzard, it's not, hey, Blizzard, Riot Games, notice me, give me a job kind of thing. It's more, what can I do for Riot Games? What can I do for Blizzard that makes me so valuable to them that, you know, I can give them something, they can give me something? Because obviously it's not just, let's make a costume and look cool in it, because that's, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people can and will do that. But it's more what you guys are doing. You know, you're doing music videos, you're doing, you know, you've got cosplay supplies coming up, you're going to distribute that all the way around Europe. You've got someone who, you know, is able to make these costumes for the companies if they need it. You know, maybe you can model that as well, doing that kind of same work. So no, I really like that point, which is like, okay, what not can they give me is what can I give to the community in which, you know, they're going to benefit either way. And you do it because, you're passionate about it because you love it, not because you want something back from it at the end of the day. So
yeah, if it's just pure, you know, monetary value, it doesn't matter if it's money, views, likes.
Mm.
It's not gonna help you in the long run. You just have to learn that yes, you can probably make a pretty costume. Blizzard can probably reach out to you. They can even offer you a job, but that's probably just like one in a million right now.
Yeah,
I really blame social media for this as well, because every younger cosplayer, at least from what I'm experiencing here in Bulgaria and abroad, is they see all these creators who are already established, creators such as Kamui, Lightning, Kimpatsu.
Mm.
Like, they're very big creators that started in an industry that was still growing. So they were like kind of the front runners. So
yeah.
Of course, they're going to be in this position, which they are now. They've proven themselves. They've walked the walk. They've talked the talk. But now with social media, they believe that they got to be like the best from the moment they step into something. And it's like this cultivated thing in them. It's like, oh, she got 200 likes in her picture. I only got 60, but I'm so much better.
Yeah.
It doesn't. That's, in the end of the day, that is not going to matter. That's not the things that will propel you forward. Because if you want to build something, like, just build it because you know that this is going to help in the bigger picture, the grand plan kind of thing. And people then will recognize you for being this patron in your community, and you'll instantly see how this just comes back to you in the best way possible.
Because that's a nice thing to bring up too, because I know even from your social media, yours personally, like, there's not much going on, you know, just online or posting pictures or whatever, but by the sounds of it, you haven't needed to really do or use that or utilize that much to, you know, talk to the people that you have talked to or make the connections that you have made or, you know, get into talks with these big companies, you know, without, you basically don't have, you know, a huge social media presence in that way. So what's kind of your view on it there? Do you think it's like, look, it's useful, but it's not essential, or it's the most important thing is really just who you talk to and, you know, what you can show you can do. Like, what's the most important thing there for you?
Yeah, so social media, coming from my line of work as well, is important. It's an invaluable tool, which for business, you gotta use.
Yeah.
For trying to build something up, you gotta use it.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily the thing that is gonna get you, like, into all of these nice meetings, nice connections. It's of course, as a cosplayer, if you want to promote yourself, this is the way to go.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
You gotta post it. But don't just post it and expect, like, something to fly out, hit you in the head. It's like, oh wow, $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, it's not gonna work that way. Build it up, but build it up as your passion. Show yourself from your social media, not what is expected from you.
Right.
The more genuine you are on social media, at least from a personality standpoint, that's where people fall in love with you. People fall in love with the genuine you, with what you can bring, your persona. Because realistically, if one person cosplays Tanjiro really good, and then there's 100 other Tanjiros that are really good, who are you going to follow? They're all nice Tanjiros, man.
Yeah.
They're all nice Tanjiros. They're going to fall in love with the person. It's the same with everything. It's the same with streaming, YouTubing. People just vibe with people.
Yeah.
So don't try to be the best in the world. Try to be yourself.
I'm gonna write that down right now. That's amazing. If there's 100 Tanjiros, they're going to like you not just because you look good as Tanjiro. They're going to like you because you're you. Right? New for you. God, that's poetry in motion right there. Did you pick Tanjiro because that's like flavor of the month right now in Bulgarian convention scene, or?
No, I don't know why I picked. I had a thought running for why I picked Tanjiro. I think I saw something in the room that, like, resonated. Because I was going to pick something Genshin. I was like, no, I don't want to pick something.
Oh dear, because it was so funny. I came back and I had a couple of chats with people of, because the only thing that they saw of us at WCS was what they televised, you know, as going down the red carpet or going up on stage or doing this. And obviously with, you know, Japanese media and what's appropriate for, you know, stage performances or going to be popular in a you know, publicity event or something, there's going to be some overlap. There's going to be people doing the same things. And I did have these comments of people going, I was like, oh yeah, you know, well, how come, you know, there's some double ups, how come there's people doing the same things? Or, you know, aren't they going to get self-conscious of doing this or comparing themselves? Like, no, they're doing that because it's fun to do and because they want to do it. And at the end of the day, people are going to say like, oh, you know, I liked this one better or that one looked cooler to me. But, you know, to me, it's just like, oh, you know, I talked to all of them and they were all amazing people in their own way. And I'm going to follow all of them, not just because they cosplayed Tanjiro together, but, you know, because they were just genuinely cool people. And, you know, like I haven't really talked to you much since the end of Japan, really, because you're not super active on the cosplay social media itself. So, and I think that's how a lot of people do kind of keep in touch. It's like, oh, you posted something. Oh, let's comment and chat this way. But you know, in terms of connections and, you know, you and I are a perfect example. It's like, oh, wonder if Tony's wanting to have a chat in this podcast. So I just sent a message like, yeah, sweet, let's talk. It's been a while. And you know, I think that's the kind of, you know, connection you want to develop with people. Just, you know, you want to feel like, oh, I can just message them at any time. And it's not like, oh, I need to get something from Tony. It's like, oh, but if I needed someone to develop a casino or, you know, create some online portal hub, I know exactly the person to go to who I can pay that $1 million he wants to do it. But I think you've probably experienced the same thing. It's like, you know, you go out there, you meet people, you see who you vibe with. If you so happen to have an interest in some project and say, oh, cool, you know what? I'd love to collaborate with them on this because we've got a mutual interest here. That's the whole purpose, really, of going out to talk to people and making those connections.
Yeah, to that point, I've always believed, because I've been this way my entire life. Mm. I travel, I meet a lot of people, and a lot of people meet me as well.
Yeah.
But I've had times where people are like, oh, but you're not really communicating with me that much. Are we really okay? And I've always believed, like, when there's a genuine connection between people,
mm.
I don't need to write to you every day.
You don't.
Like, we're good.
We're good, man. We're good. We haven't talked in months.
we haven't talked in months, but we're good. Like, I know that if I would come to Australia right now and I need to bring some big stuff over, but I can't bring it over, so I need to send it, I'd definitely contact you and be like, yo, Jeremy, so we have this thing going in a convention. We need to send some stuff. Are you okay, like, picking this stuff up? And I don't necessarily view you just as an object.
Of course.
You know, picking my stuff up. But I know that when I was there, I made a genuine connection with you.
Mm.
And for me, that's what matters. So don't value, like, quantity of how much you're talking. Because once you start quantifying these things, that's how you escalate the, you know, your relationship ending. Because then you just... You're putting some metrics on how much you need to talk to keep your friendship.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I need to talk to her at least for 3 hours today, give her a gossip, or we're not good anymore.
Oh God.
So stop quantifying things and putting metrics on them. Oh my God, my post had 10,000 reach. So what? So did the other 100 Tanjiros, man.
Have you had connections like that? Just like, man, just, you know, I haven't talked to you in months. Like, are we okay? Have I done something wrong?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've had a couple of those. I've had so many people. Because I don't write at all to anyone. Mm-hmm. I only write to, like, my closest people. Even one of my best friends, he lives in Sweden for 7 years. And I grew up with this guy.
Yeah.
We raided WoW for 12 hours a day. And we're closest ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And we write to each other like once or twice a month because we realize we're both grown-ups. We both have lives. And then I still have people in my life whom I've only met like once or twice, and they're like, I just wanted to pop in and just ask, are we good? I see that you're going through some tough times, but you haven't really written to me. And I find this so disingenuous. You write to me to see if I'm good, but then your like agenda is to find out if we're good.
Oh man.
Not if I'm good. So it's so funny to me, and that's I've always been this way, where like I've met you once, we vibed, and I know that I can just pop in your DMs like whenever, just be like, yo Jeremy, how you been, man? Like, we're coming over to Australia, you want to catch up if you can?
I would take a few days off work, my friend, for you. I would go that. I'd pick you up from the airport and make sure that you had the best.
Likewise. If you come to Bulgaria, I'll be like, no, don't bother booking a hotel. You're gonna sleep at a
You're very kind. Place, you know? Very kind.
So yeah, for me, this is also a tip, because this is something that's going on in the community. It's kind of like a race who can have more cosplay friends. At least here is something I've noticed. Like, building this like groups of yes man, and I this is so toxic, but they're forming these groups of like 20 people, and they're all yes manning each other. Like, obviously it's not the best product,
yeah,
it's not the best performance, but you got 20 people behind you like supporting you, like you should have won. They don't know the judges, they don't know anything.
Yeah, right, it becomes an us versus them versus someone else kind of dynamic.
And that's so toxic, guys. If you find yourself ever in a social group where you're yes manning something to like
to bring someone else down,
it's not true.
Yeah
So just do it in a way like support them. You've done such a great job. Pick your words, because if you just you know, giving them delusional comments, that's not gonna work.
Yeah,
like saying stuff like the judges don't know better, bro. The judges are like WCS people.
There's a reason why they're the judges and you're not the judge.
Exactly. So they know, they've been through the ringer.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, guys. If you find yourself in such toxic communities, just get out while it's time, because that just leads to a whole path of, you know,
God,
path which you don't want to go.
It's so interesting too, actually, that you kind of mentioned all those yes man, and you know, meeting people who feel like they want to talk to you because they want to feel like, oh, you know, all the WCS person. So funny, after Maya and I did get kind of, you know, we won the Australian preliminaries, there were people who, I know beforehand, you know, we go up to them, we have a talk, and I'm just me, you know, and I'm like, I'll have a talk. If you don't want to talk, man, I get it, that's fine, we don't vibe, whatever. But there were people who would just be like, oh, no, okay, who are you? Like, why are you talking to us? I'm like, that's fine, don't want to talk, whatever. And then soon after WCS, they started going like, oh, like, wow, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you didn't even want to talk to me before. What's going on now? Like, oh, so, I don't know what it's like for you guys, but there's, God, that was just so common for the last year. Like, now it's like, oh, we've passed the torch to someone else. It's like, all right, cool. Everyone's back to normal now, where it's like, okay, if you know me, you want to talk, sweet, let's talk. But the cold shoulders are back again. And I'm like, oh, man, it's just, It's a weird little cycle that this goes through. So, God, it's kind of funny to see. It doesn't matter if it's this side of the world or that side of the world. It's very kind of similar.
Yeah, it's just people. That's how we operate as humans. It's very in our nature, and that's why I don't bash it so much when I see it in front of me, and I try to explain it to the opposite side, and you know, give them my point of view.
Yeah,
a person who's been there at one point of his life. I've been there, but not in such a scale. So whenever I see something like this, I always approach it like carefully.
Yeah,
you know, tell them that this is, in the long run, it doesn't give you anything. It just makes you look like you know a total ass.
It really does.
You know, a lot of people, and for us, we're in the community, but I wouldn't say that like people are like jogging up to us, like trying to talk to us. When we're at the shop, there's a lot of people that come and talk to us because they kind of view us as the shop. But even now, 3 years have passed, and people are still trying to figure out that it's me and her behind the shop. They don't even know. They kind of, like, we're living this Hannah Montana life. Cosplay, we're like Hannah, and then we're Miley Cyrus in the shop.
So yeah, right.
Still figuring this out. But the community has a huge respect for her, especially after the last Comic-Con. Now she's, like, in every Comic-Con advertisement. It's just, it's her, like, postered everywhere. So people know that, oh, like, that's Vanya.
Right, right.
So now they especially after Comic-Con, the same thing you said, everybody started texting her, how do I do this? How do I do that?
Oh.
Her DMs were just flooded with, like, people. And now, like, sometimes it's passed and there's nothing. And I expect us, when we do the next big thing, people are going to be like, how do I do this? How do I do that?
Yeah, right. That's so interesting. Do you guys have, like, a physical shop front as well? Or is it, like, all online?
For now, it's all online because we haven't really found, like, the right time or the right place to do it. Because, like, physical shops here in Bulgaria, especially something that's so niche, is you need the right place. You need a place where it's comfortable for everybody to reach. And we haven't really found this place yet, but hopefully soon we're going to, you know, nail this place down. And we're going to open up physically as well.
Is that something that you feel like you want to do as a physical base, or you kind of prefer keeping it as an online order only kind of thing?
I'd say a physical shop here in Bulgaria is a good idea. From a business perspective, having something physical is something that's probably not even going to change in our culture for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, so right.
We kind of want to make a hybrid where we're going to have, like, a two-floor kind of deal. First floor being all about the shop, and then the second floor be our base of operation. So our machines, printers, lasers, blah, 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 blah. We want to have this all in one place and have the whole ecosystem physically somewhere so we can all go and work together and bounce ideas off each other.
That's really cool. And you have, like, convention crunch weekends where you're just all in the workshop together making stuff. And
exactly, exactly.
That's really cool because we've got in Australia, there's a place called Lumen's Workshop, and they've basically got a monopoly at the moment over anything in cosplay. There were some smaller places that tried to, I think, enter the market, but they just kind of price bid them out with, you know, better prices and more products. And so now they've got a monopoly. It's getting so good, I think people in the US are starting to buy from them, so good on them.
Oh, wow. Oh, wait, we know these guys. I think Vanya showed me, actually.
Yeah, right.
Some of their products. They have this, like, sticky EVA, like, on duct tape on.
Yeah, EVA yeah.
Foam, something like
that. Yeah, foam rods.
It's, like, ridiculous prices, though.
Oh, for that side of the world, absolutely. I've yet to actually go, because we're in Brisbane, a city in Australia, and they're down in Melbourne, which is a bigger city. I haven't yet visited the physical front yet, but I know for where I live, you know, there's a lack of community space, which, you know, you've probably done it as well in your time as well. Just, oh, let's get some friends over, let's finish off our costumes together before the weekend or something. And it's something really fun having, you know, the community around you, people to bounce off, you can all do things together. And, you know, it's not something I think that I've had in a long time, and by the sounds of it, you know, if you guys made a space like that for people in your community, I think it's going to be such a great initiative for them. So
yeah, I also think some things that like stuff that we can offer, because people sometimes, like, I remember when we had the preliminaries for WCS, they asked me how did I make my sword, and I'm not going to gatekeep that.
Yeah,
because it looked like a good sword, but I didn't want to gatekeep it because, okay, so first of all, you need wood. Then you need to transport the wood. Then you need a CO2 laser. Then you need all of these materials to make this final product. And the reason why I don't gatekeep this is because in my head, I realize that probably 1% or even 0.1% in this community has all of these things
right
at their disposal
right
to make this tool. So we want to make a place where a person could come and say, hey, I kind of want to make this character. He has this sword. can you make the base for on your CO2 laser? So see, I'm giving the community a place where they can make a part of their costume, make it well, have a really sturdy base, then customize it themselves. And also, this brings business. So once again, this is what I was talking about. Once you start doing it for the community, then you're starting to see everything back.
Yeah.
If you just do it for yourself. I made this super cool sword. I'm not going to tell you how I did it, though.
God, no, honestly, I will never... That's a core memory for me. I was 16, 17, 18, getting into it. Same thing. Saw a big competition cosplayer. I'm not mentioning any names here, but competition cosplayer. They... First time in Australia, like... This is back in 2009 or something. Like, long time ago.
Wow.
But, you know, this is the first time you see armor, it lights up and all this kind of cool stuff. And I just want to say, hey, what's your armor made out of? Because, you know, I've never seen a material like that. To this day, they said, it's a secret. No, I can't share my secrets. And I said, are you fucking kidding me? I was flabbergasted. I'm like, oh, okay. But, yeah, so I don't think they do it as much anymore, but... something like that really left an impression on me, and I've just never looked at them the same way again as a person. But, you know, for someone like you, if you said, oh, I'll tell you how to do it, even I'll even help you to make it if you want, we've got the materials at our shop, that would be the most welcoming thing in the world, saying, oh my God, Stoyan's such a stand-up guy. Well, you are, and you don't need to prove that to me, but, you know, I think for anyone who doesn't know that.
As I said, it's the full circle. Like, realistically, there is a lifespan on how much you can compete, right?
Yeah,
you can compete to your 60 probably, but by the time you're 60, people will know your tricks and everything. So
yeah,
even someone else might have made something better and just shared it with the world. So congratulations, you've been gatekeeping something that came out anyway. So might as well show everybody, because the more it cycles through a community, the more it reaches more people, the more knowledge there is, the bigger the community becomes. I remember it was the same with 3D printing.
Like, yeah.
When 3D printing started, it was such a small thing because nobody knew how to work with a 3D printer. And look at it now. It's one of the biggest and fastest growing businesses in the world because there is so much knowledge out there,
yeah,
that is free for everybody to learn from. So everybody can go buy a affordable printer, start printing, because there's knowledge on how to do things now. And it's the same with everything. So the more I share about cosplay, or Vanya shares about cosplay, the bigger the community will become, because there's knowledge on how to do things. And what does that bring?
More business for you guys.
Or it's the same if you're a persona. The more tips you share, the more people are going to follow you, because they see you as a source of inspiration and a lot of creative ideas. So there you go. Instead of trying to make a badass picture that is going to give you 300 likes and nothing more, try to figure out, after you make this badass picture, how can I dissect this costume and bring a value with my content
to yeah.
all the rest of the people who are wondering, well, how do I make this?
I think that's a really good point, because I think some of the people I have seen who aren't, you know, at the upper echelon of the 1% of creators, the people who are growing fast, are the people who said, hey, check out this badass picture. Also, here's the free 3D templates for everything that I want, if you want it. So,
exactly.
It's just giving and giving, which is, I think that's a really good theme. Just the more you give, the more you can kind of, it's going to come back around to you in some way, shape, or form. It's going to come back. So that's really cool. I just realized we blew through that hour so fast. but here we are. But Swan, thanks so much for joining us on you know, this Just Because podcast. You know, it's really interesting just getting some insight for, you know, what culture is like, you know, specifically in Bulgaria, and you know, what your kind of goals are for the next year or the next few years. And, you know, I wish you guys all the best in seeing how that apparates. You know, obviously we'll work out something. I'm gonna make a Europe trip eventually, so don't worry, I'll let you know.
Thank you.
But just for, you know, someone who wants to find out more about your work, or wants to find out more about Vanya's work, or even for your shop and seeing what you get up to, what do you want to tell all the listeners? Like, where can we find you?
So personally, for myself, as Jeremy mentioned, I'm a full John Wick. I don't even have social media presence at all. So probably if you catch one of my stories sometimes on Instagram, you see a sneak peek of something. But you can follow Vanya, who is kind of sharing both our journeys together on like making all these amazing costumes at Vanyusha Cosplay with a W. I'll share this with you. And
I'll put it the link in the description. It's all good.
Yeah, and then for a shop, we're like BG Cosplay Shop, so Bulgarian Cosplay Shop. It's really straightforward. But yeah, if you want to follow our journey there, we're going to start providing even more content from this year on, like educational content for, and we're trying to collaborate with a lot of upcoming, and not only upcoming, but artists who have been in this community and have a lot to share. So we're really looking forward to make this happen as soon as possible. And
hell yeah.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
No, thank you again for joining me, because that was one of the fastest hours I think I've gone through in this week, so that's awesome. But no, again, thank you for joining us. Thank you everyone for listening. Same as always, if you guys want to follow their journey, I'll put all the links in the description below. If you liked this episode, international guests, what do you think? Let me know in the comments. If you want to see someone else, who would it be? Let me know in the comments. If you need me to get a new microphone or headset or whatever and say, Jeremy, you sound crap, let me know in the comments. I gotta know, you know, give me your feedback here. I'm building up. And if you miss Maya, let me know that you miss Maya. I'll see what I can do to get her back for in a couple of episodes. But let me know in the comments. But other than that, again, thanks, Tony. Thanks again for joining us on the podcast, everybody. We will see you again next week. Bye for now. Bye. Say bye, Tony.
Bye-bye.